So give me a thumbs up if you can hear us. Very good. All right. Welcome to the virtual service for Plains Presbyterian Church. We hope that our virtual service is a genuine blessing to you today. There are an innumerable number in your PDF version of your bulletin, which you may have printed to have with you. And the first and foremost announcement we'd like to make today that we neglected to do last week is the fact that even though there's no people in the church today, the church still has costs and it still has bills to pay. And so we ask that you please remember to tithe or to continue to make your offerings. On the back of the bulletin is the QR code that Tom Lunny set up. If your smartphone is set up with a QR capacity, you can make a donation directly through that QR code. You can also go to the plainschurch.com website to make a donation, or you can go old school and send a check. But we do still very much need that support to keep the church running, even though there's nobody in it right now. Are there any other announcements you'd like to make, young man?
I was just looking at the at the chat feature. We will be talking, as I said before, as we get through different steps, we'll be inviting you to participate with us through it. So thank you again, as we said last week, for your grace and your understanding. This is new ground for us. We don't do this normally, but I think we've made some good improvements, and we're looking forward to the service. So.
And now, if you would, please join me in the prayer of praise and adoration. Eternal God, you have called us together to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. All around the world, people are waking up and praising you. Help us to join in the great wave of praise, so together we might show that we are one through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so, bring glory and honor in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our introit hymn this morning will be hymn number 101. It's in our red hymnals, but it's also printed in your bulletin.
Of the
And now if you'll join me in the prayer of confession.
Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from the proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength. Through Jesus Christ, your Son.
Amen. Hear the words of assurance today. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love for those who respect God. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. In the name of the Sovereign who loves us and has sacrificed for us, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, although we are separated by a distance today, take a moment and offer the peace of Christ in a way that is meaningful and acceptable to you, to those around you, and those in your church family. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And I remind you that as we're getting ready to transition to our next part, if your video or if your audio feed is on, we can hear you. So remember, bottom left-hand corner, click the mute button, and then you can do whatever you need to do, or chat, or do whatever, and we won't hear you during the service.
Our first reading this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. If you happen to have a pew Bible at home, it will be on page 747. If not, feel free to take a moment in your own personal Bible and open it up to Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me not by the spirit of, but he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me round among them, and behold, there were very many upon the valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, home to its home. And as I looked, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet as exceedingly great host. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you home into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, says the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, take a stick and write on it, for Judah and the children of Israel associated with him. Then take another stick and write upon it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel associated with him, and join them together in one stick, that they may become one in your hand. This ends the reading.
Let him have an
Before we spend time in the Word of the Lord, will you pray with me today? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for being with us today. We thank you for these your words and this your service that we hope brings joy to your heart. We ask you to bless this psalm as we read it and speak to us in a fresh new way. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Today's text is Psalm 130. It is found in your pew Bible on 538. If you happen to stop at the church this week, pick up a pew Bible and bring it home. Otherwise, it is Psalm 130. And it's subtitled A Song of Ascent. Listen now and hear God's word for you. Out of the depths I cry to thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thy ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, O Lord, shouldst markest iniquity, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Loving God, we are thankful to be together as the body of Christ in a time which is uncertain, unfamiliar. But we thank you that you are neither uncertain nor unfamiliar. And as we stop now and consider these your words, as we meditate upon them in our hearts, speak to us. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. And before I begin talking to you about the psalm, I will remind you of something that Ron and I said earlier in the service, as we're coming to that point very soon in our service where we will share our joys and our concerns as the body of Christ. And this will be done through the chat feature, so that we'll be able to see it here and respond to it. If you have a joy you'd like to share, if you have a concern you'd like to share, even now you can feel free. I won't take it personal that you're chatting during the message. You can chat it in, put it on there. We will mark it down and we'll have it. If it's something that needs to be kept private between the church family, just put confidential with it and we won't share it with the live Facebook audience that we also have. But we will be coming to that part very soon. But before that, let's consider Psalm 130. I don't think any of you would disagree with me that it's a strange world that we see outside of our windows right now. I have spent quite a bit of time this week reading and reflecting and discussing with other people about how, from my perspective, not much has changed about my life. But when I stop in the moment I consider it, I confess that while it looks like things are similar, they are not. Things are different. Yes, I still get up every morning. Yes, I practice my routine. And most of that feels untouched and unchanged. But there is something else around me that feels different. While I'm considering this, I look out my front window onto Plains Church Road, and I see the relative strangers of our community walking their dogs in packs of people. They are all ages of people before me, young and old. I've seen couples out, families, large families walking together, teenagers and groups of friends staring down at their phones while they walk the dogs, which strikes me as dangerous. Another interesting detail about the walks I witness is that they are also so silent. I may see many groups of people walking, but no one seems to be addressing each other. When I have walked our dog, we pass each other in complete silence. And I see these people, the packs of people, and they stare back at me like I'm the stranger in their world. And I begin to wonder two things. One, when did all these people move into my neighborhood? And two, when did they all get dogs? It seems something totally different. Our self-isolating life has driven people out of their homes and into the streets, which almost looks like the opposite of self-quarantining to me. This reflection that I am engaging in is similar, I think, to what we have in our text for today. Psalm 130 is a psalm of ascent. It is designed to be used either in public worship or as a worship tool for individuals as people travel to the temple in Jerusalem in the biblical time period. Biblical commentators believe that this psalm was written, it was constructed so that one person would start the singing of the psalm, the reading of it. Then as they journeyed up towards Jerusalem, it was on a hill, so everybody's journeying up regardless of your direction. The song would increase in volume as more people joined the group. It starts as a single voice, crying out to God, and becomes a community's voice, seeking God and an answer from God. Using this model of Psalm 130, we begin this solitary moment with a lament. The being alone in the text starts with words of lament. While we can lament in solitude biblically, we see the act of lament first as an individual, but becoming communal. Consider the story of Job, which is a detailed series of laments as Job laments to God as he tries to make sense of what's happening to him in his life. Over a third of all the psalms we have can be classified as lament psalms, whether written by David or Solomon or someone else. The authors know something about lamenting as a person who writes it and gives it to the community to reflect upon it. We have an entire book that laments the destruction of the holy city, the Book of Lamentations. Repeatedly, we can find references to people gathering together and praying, and not just praying, but praying out of pain, which is a lament, a prayer of lament. But lamenting can also be a solitary practice. It is communal, but it can also be solitary. And that's where many of you may be today. Think of Jesus in the garden, releasing his suffering through prayer. He is alone as he laments to God. Paul in the darkness of prison, asking for visitors repeatedly at the end of his epistles. He's alone, and God's grace is given to him. These are moments when the anguish, the prayers, the feelings are laments that are all that can escape the soul. In Jesus' case, we know when he laments in a couple of weeks, he will cry drops of blood. In our own days, I am sure you fall into the same place. We lament, both communally as the church not being together, and we lament as people, suffering, however we define that suffering. Verses 1 through 4 seem to indicate that in our text today, that the author is struggling with both the communal and individual aspects of lament. The author cries out to the Lord to begin a solo act. To my supplication, he says, a solo prayer. We hear the language repeated. But this person is doing so with the memory of how God has been with an entire nation throughout their history. And the speaker remembers. Part of the idea of a biblical lament is the idea and the theme running throughout our Lenten series that God has given us so much, we can see how blessed we are. And now what has brought us to lament is the consideration that that's over. God feels far off. The blessings and prosperities we know and we gratefully accept from God feel like they are taken away. What was is not. The word from Ezekiel that Ron read for us this morning spoke about life coming together in a place of lifelessness. The God who began in week one of Lent with the creation story and the beauty and abundance of it, now in the mind of both Ezekiel and our psalmist, and maybe even us, seems distant, far off, both personally and corporately. We cry, we lament loudly on our way to worship, hoping that God will hear our lament and come again and be among us. But as this psalm seems to fit the idea of communal prayer that grows as voices are added to it, it transitions in verse 5 to something different. While lament can become so overwhelming, a sense of hope is needed for us. And it was found both in this psalm and in the word that Ron read for you already. The hopeful word again is repeated in verse 7 in a more nationalistic sense, communal sense. If this psalm is a prayer or word to be used as people journey to the temple, then built into its construction and its poetic nature is a sense of time elapsing. They are on a journey in Psalm 130. It takes time, you see, to move us from lament to a place of feeling hope. I do not rush too quickly away from the lament that I feel. Carefully, I tread through my feelings and expressions. Then over time, the more time I spend with God and with this idea and with words like this psalm, the more carefully I work with it, the more communion I have with the Lord, the more my hope grows in me. And my hope reminds me that God is closer than I could ever imagine. It has not all been taken away from me. Even if as I stand at my window and I look out, it feels like it all has. It has not been taken away from me. Rushing the transition from lament to hope cannot be hurried. That is part of the problem that we as the church deal with as we face this coronavirus. We want it all back right now. I want it back right now. We want things to be the way they were. I mentioned that last week, and I don't disagree with the idea now as I think about this psalm. I want a full church, not one with the skeleton crew here. We are blessed that we are able to worship as we are today, whether through Zoom or live Facebook, and I feel appreciation for those who have helped me set it up. But I want things differently. I want the prosperity of the church. I want to shake your hand. I want to feel the warmth of God with us personally. Many of us watch the daily press briefings hoping to hear good news, or at least news that provides an end to social distancing. And we don't get that. But we need something to hope in. And so as we go back to the psalm, our message, our hope is coming. It takes time. Time that we cannot force to advance, time the Messiah has given to us. Twice in our text, the writer uses the phrase, more than those who watch for the morning. In the context of this psalm, this watching or this attitude of waiting is something that happens late at night. Again, time elapsing. Think about the idea with me for just a moment. Have you ever been awake? Unable to sleep, too anxious to rest, your mind racing because you know what's coming or what you have to deal with. So you watch the sky for the first traces of light to come up over the horizon. Not the sunrise, but the first glimpse of light coming back into our world, signaling for you that today might be different. That light gives you something to hope in, to hope for. It signals an end to what worried or frightened you, what caused your hope to dwindle and the lament to grow stronger. That is what is happening in Psalm 130 as the phrase is repeated twice for you. The speaker is waiting with anticipation for God to come back into their life. They are alone in a place of lament, anxiety, and sadness and isolation to begin. But they know, they hope in God coming over time. And when God does come, when hope is restored, and it is, all that was lamented over is restored. It may not be an immediate action. It may feel like the community is coming together to bemoan God not with us, but it is coming. God is coming, and we hope in it. As our Lenten time in preparation draws closer to its end. This makes me begin to wonder about what happens next for us. I'm not saying that tomorrow morning, should the government decide to resume normal operation, things will be better just because you worshiped with us. Instead, I am saying that restoration is coming in Christ someday. Hope is going to be restored. It may not happen by lunch today. I wish it would. It probably won't. And that's what makes this hard to work through. I want it back right now, whatever it is. We lament that it is not. But for today, I encourage you, I challenge you to find something to hope in. Find a way to locate Christ with you in this place.
Find something for hope's sake. And I wonder if you do, and as you do, how that will shape your response and your work tomorrow as a member of the body of Christ. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we are thankful to be together as your church today. We may not be together physically in this space, but we are together in spirit and with you. And you have heard us lament. You have sat with us as our frustration has grown at not being able to be together. But you have given us something to hope in and to hope for and to hope because of the Christ, Jesus, our Savior. And so as we continue to worship you today, as we continue to look for you around our world and around our lives, show us places where that hope can germinate and grow. So that when we encounter, and we know we will, others who struggle as we do, we will be able to offer them the good news that you are coming and that you will care for us and provide for us. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. In response to God's word, I invite you, even if you're at home, to stand with me and confess the faith we have come to believe using the Apostles' Creed, which is printed again in your bulletin. Let us confess what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Although, as you have heard before, we are not going to take our offering in this time. But will you pray with me as we dedicate those gifts to the Lord in heaven? Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your provision in each of our lives. We bring you our gifts, our offerings, our tithes, trusting you to use them for the glory of Jesus. It's in his name they are brought to you and dedicated to you. Amen. We come to the time to share joys and concerns in our stories. And although we have our listed as sharing our stories, I invite you to find that story in your own day, in your week, and share it with another person. Not someone who is part of the body of Christ here at Plains. Find an individual, share how God has been at work in your life with them, and see what happens next. We have asked for joys and concerns to be shared through the chat feature, and we have a number, and I'm going to read them out for you today. We will, of course, the first one that we got was before our service started. Marianne asked that we lift up our leaders in our country and those working with the coronavirus, and we will certainly keep everyone in our prayers who is in that most needed work in this time. We received a prayer concern from Tony asking for prayers for the family of Pat Rahill, who passed away this week after a short bout with cancer. Pat was 55 years of age, and so we will pray for God's comfort and God's grace to be with them. Tim asked that we pray for all of those who are in the hospitals, nursing homes, and other facilities who are isolated from their families as visitors are not allowed in their lives for the foreseeable future, which is, I know, a struggle for many, and we will lift them up in our prayer time. Steve Rotz asked that, he said it is a joy that more and more of the customers that he speaks with are ending their calls with words that sound like, stay healthy. It's a reminder to him that he is part of a larger community of faith, and we give God praise for that today. The Roscoes asked us to pray for their neighbor Terry, who is going through chemotherapy treatments for breast cancer, and we will keep Terry in our prayers as well today. And also to keep their neighbor Regis, who was in the hospital fighting leukemia in this time. I'll give you another moment if anyone wishes to share joys and concerns through that feature. I'm glad that we have the availability to do so. I'll ask anybody in the room if you have joys and concerns. There are a few people here, as you know. If you have joys and concerns to share, we will share those as well. Then will you be the church with me? Let us pray. Loving God, we are thankful to be together, to be the body of Christ in this way, coming together in a time of uncertainty and doing tremendous things to be the church, to work for those who cannot work for themselves, to pray and to minister. We do agree with the sentiments that we have heard through our chat feature today to lift up the leaders of our country as they struggle and work through what steps and what needs to be done to combat the coronavirus. We pray for them. We pray you give them wisdom and understanding, not to further their agendas, but to further yours for your glory. We lift them up to you. Lord, we think of the family of Pat Rahill today, who has passed a week after a short battle with cancer at the age of 55. We pray for your comfort, for your sustaining grace to be with them in their time of struggle. Rightly so as well, we lift up to those who are in the hospitals, the nursing homes, and other facilities who are isolated from family and friends. We pray first for their physical health, but we also pray for their emotional, spiritual health. And for the care that they are receiving, we ask that those people who are doing your work would be your hands and feet, ministering love, support, understanding in a time when isolation seems to grow more and more every day. We are thankful to hear Steve's joy that he has heard more and more throughout this week. Stay healthy. Words of encouragement, words reminding him he is part of a larger body. And so we pray that those words would be a blessing to Steve and a blessing to all of us, as we too have our own opportunities to care for one another. We pray for the Roscoe's neighbor, Terry, who is going through chemotherapy treatments for breast cancer, and for their neighbor, Regis, who is also in the hospital fighting leukemia. We pray that you are with both Terry and Regis, that you watch over them, that your presence is felt in their treatment and in their care. And also, Lord, and finally, we lift up to you those things which remain in our hearts that are moving for us, that challenge us, that lead us to prayer. We commit these to you. We trust you to be with them. Now hear us, Lord, together, your children, as we offer you the first prayer which you've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I remind you, as we prepare for our final hymn, this service has been recorded. It will be available on the website soon, so you can share it with anyone who is not able to be at worship, who might be blessed by having the time to worship together. Our final hymn is in the red hymnal again on page 411, but it is also printed by Ann as an insert in your bulletin. Take the name of Jesus with you. I invite you, as we come to the end of our time, to stand as you are able as we worship the Lord in song. Please bow your heads for the blessing. Finally, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you always. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Alleluia and amen. This will conclude our live service. I will turn off the feed here in a moment. You may stay around if you wish and unmute yourselves and chat with each other. I believe I have you unmuted already, but God be with you today. Amen.